Praise the Lord this morning. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Amen.
It took me back a little bit. I didn't think we'd get it this early. So I don't know what was going on this morning, but
I had a few more thoughts I was trying to get into my mind, Brother Lee. You know how that is. They were escaping me. Escaping. Praise the Lord. I told you I want to talk about something different here in the next couple of weeks and moving forward. Now is that time. And I mentioned it to Brother Brent the other night, and he said, go with it if that's what you feel. So it's what I feel, my brother. Hallelujah. We're going to move forward. And we'll be entering into a series here for the next several weeks. We talked earlier on, we went through when I first took the class, about being a Christian and some of the foundational things in our lives that we needed to have in order. And all of those things are very, very important. But friends, us as Christians need to continue to progress in God. We need to draw closer to God. We need to do whatever it takes to know God's Word and apply it to our hearts and lives. And it's very important today that as we continue on in this life, that we look at the next step, if you will. We talked about a few weeks back about a crossroads, that all of us at some point in our lives, we come to a crossroads. And as we stand there and as we are looking down both ways and both options that we can go, there is a choice that we are confronted with, whether we are going to pursue the things of God or whether we're going to turn from the things of God. And today I want each and every one of us to turn towards the things of God. And the topic here that I have, and I guess I'm not going to hold out on you any longer, is simply this: why should we as Christians be concerned about our outward appearance? Why should we as Christians be concerned about our outward appearance? Again, this will be several weeks long, and the reason that I say that is I don't want us to just get in and just say it's a list of do's and don'ts. And there are principles, and there are guidelines, there are scriptures that God gives us in His Word, amen, that are important for each and every one of us. And as we look at those things, amen, those principles will take you a lot further than a short list of do's and don'ts. The world that we're living in is always changing. And as we look into God's Word, if we just focus on the do's and don'ts, we'll miss a large portion of what He has for us today. But there are principles, there are guidelines that God's Word gives us that if we abide by those and if we apply those to every situation in our life, it'll keep us from a lot of trouble. Amen. The preacher doesn't have to get up behind the pulpit and call out that specific thing, and you sit back and think, whew, he missed me, but you know, he talked about that thing, but he missed me over here, I'm okay. No. There's some principles that God's Word gives us that are important for us today. So the series that this is titled is Why Should We as Christians Be Concerned About Our Outward Appearance? And this was a series of lessons that were taught to me as a young child, a young kid, and I still remember them today, and they are so important. And I hope that I can do them justice compared to what I had received as a young man. They were first taught back in 1992, so it's been a few years. But yet I can remember them as yesterday. Amen. Because they were so real and so vivid to me. And I trust that I could do them justice. My pastor preached them and I have them on tape, and I've been listening to them over and over again. The outline that I have mostly is from those lessons. So I can't claim total credit for that today. But I know that he would love to have us continue on teaching these things. And they're out there. So why should we as Christians be concerned about our outward appearance? There are three things here that God's Word gives us as to why we as believers, why as we as Christians need to be worried about what the Bible says about practical Bible holiness. And we've mentioned it a few times, and it's come across in some of our sermons, Brother Brent's preaching. And as we look at God's Word today, I think that there are three reasons why that we as individuals, as Christians, as we're progressing in our faith, as we're drawing closer to God, need to be worried and need to be concerned, need to make provision for our outward appearance. The first one is very simple. It's the way that God wants us to live. And we want to please Him. Amen. God wants us to live holy lives. He wants us to live separate from the world. And friends, because that's what God wants, amen, that's what we ought to want to do. Amen. We want to please God. I trust that that's your goal. I trust that that's your desire. I trust that that is your drive. Amen. Is it whatever God's word says, that as you get into his word, as you look into the scriptures, that you'll do whatever it takes to please God. Amen. As I mentioned, that we are at a crossroads. And as you come up to that intersection of life, if you will, and you're looking both ways, amen, hopefully the turn that you're going to make will get you closer to heaven, closer to home, amen. And the choices that we make, amen, should be based, God, I want to please you today. God, I want to find honor with you. I want to, abide by your will. I want to live what your word says. God, I want to do whatever it takes to make you happy. Amen. The first reason that we need to live godly lives in our outward appearance is to please God. If we really want to be pleasing to God, we will not only be concerned about our heart, because it must start there, but we will also concern ourselves with the outward standards of Bible holiness. Amen. If you want to please God. Number two, the second reason, I'll spend a little more time here. First reason is to please God. The second reason is that we want to reach out and communicate Christ to those around us. Amen. I want to communicate Christ to those that are around me. Amen. If you want to, you can look there at 1 Samuel chapter number 16 this morning. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. We'll get there in just a minute. We want to live in such a way that we are true representatives of what Christ wants us to be. Amen. I want to represent Christ as he is. Amen. Christ is holy. He tells us to be holy as he is holy. Amen. And I am a representative of Christ. When I go out to the store, when you go out to the mall, when you go out to grocery shopping, or you go to work, you are a representative of Christ. And the world is looking at your life. Amen. You profess to be a Christian. You profess to be different from the world. You profess, amen, to have something inside that the world is lacking and that the world needs. And friends, today you need to be holy because God is holy. Amen. I want to tell the world, amen, about God. And I'm going to tell the world by the way that I live. The greatest way to reach others for Christ is not by just what we say, but by what we do and how we live. Amen. When you go out to the store, do many people stop you and ask you, are you a Christian? You ever had that happen before? Amen. Do you go to church? Why do they ask those questions of you? They ask them because they recognize that there's something different about your life. How do they recognize it? Have they been involved in a great conversation with you? Have they talked to you for hours at times? Have they gone over great discourse? Have you sat down doctrinally and showed them all the principles that are there? No, you didn't do any of those things. They looked at you. They took one glance at you and said, there's something different about that person. What was it that stood out? Your outward appearance. It made a difference to them. It made an impact on them, and it caused them to ask that question. What's wrong with this person? Why are they doing this? Why do you dress like... why are you a Christian? All of those things come about because of the way that you look. Amen. So I want us to look here at a verse of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7. It is a verse of Scripture that many use in secular churches to, I guess, go against this whole thought and this whole process of what we're trying to teach this morning. The verse, it says this, and if you have any comments or questions, feel free to ask them as we go along. I want to make sure I reiterate that. It says this, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And this is the part of the verse that they focus in at. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. How many times have you heard that verse of Scripture? When you tell them that, I want to dress different from the world, they whip out this verse of Scripture and they say, well, you know, God, you know, doesn't look like man looks. Man looks on the heart, God, or man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks on the heart. I've heard that verse so many times, and it gets aggravating. You know, it gets old after a while. Amen. There are many that use this verse to justify living and dressing any way that they want. God looks on my heart. He's not concerned with how I look. It doesn't matter if I wear makeup, how I fix my hair. It doesn't matter what I wear. As long as I come to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me, that I'm well on my way and nothing else matters. I don't have to do anything else. I never have to grow anymore. I don't have to progress in God. You know, I've done my part. Just be happy I'm here today, right? Isn't that what they say? And that's where it stops. There's no desire to grow more in God. There's no desire to progress in God. There's no desire to learn the deeper things of God. And friends, today, this verse of Scripture, you know, as I look at this verse of Scripture, this isn't what this verse is saying at all. This is the word. If you use that verse of Scripture to prove that you can live any way that you want to, it is the worst Bible interpretation that you could ever use in Scripture. Because you're taking a verse that clearly outlines what he's talking about in that verse, and you're twisting it right in the middle of the verse. Look here, if you will. Look at what it says. Samuel is going to anoint a new king. He's looking for a new man. He goes on down to Jesse's house, and he's looking for a man. I need to anoint a king. I need to find a guy. And he walks into the room. Of course, little old David, he's just a little boy. He's out in the field tending sheep. I'm sure he stinks. You know, probably hasn't bathed in a few days. He's out there, you know, all dirty, probably hadn't shaved or anything. You know, he's just out there tending sheep. I don't know. He walks into Jesse's house, and here are these guys. Impressive. Kind of look like me, right? Stature. I mean, they look big. They look tough. They look handsome. Probably like Brother Matt back there. I don't know. I mean, they just look nice. Look sharp, right? And Samuel's sitting there and he's looking at these guys thinking, wow, that guy would be perfect to be king. He looks great. He's handsome. He's tall. I want that guy to be king. And what does God tell him? God gets a hold of Samuel's life and he says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The outward appearance that this verse is in reference to is talking about his countenance, the way that his face is arranged, and how tall he is. How many of you can change those things today? That's what I thought. Brother Tim, could you grow another foot for me quickly, please? Go ahead. I'm waiting. It's not going to happen, is it? I'm not talking about a round. I can handle that. I'm talking about height-wise. Right? What is this verse of Scripture talking about? The outward appearance that the Word of God is talking about is clearly defined. It's the height and his countenance. The outward appearances that God is not looking at are the things that we have no control over. Amen. When God is looking to see if he can use your life, if God is looking to see, amen, how he can touch you and how he can bless you and how he can use you for the kingdom of God, he's not looking at the things of your outward body that you have no control over. Amen. He doesn't say, I can't use Brother Tim, amen, because he's too short. He's not looking at Brother Hunter because, you know, well, he just is what he is. He's kind of homely looking. He's not saying, you know, he doesn't care about those things. You have no control over those things. Praise God today, or I'd never been used. Amen. Praise God today that it doesn't matter. The things that you have no control over, the things that you have no way to change or to rectify or to adjust or to manipulate. Amen. God's looking at those things and he says, those things don't matter to me. Amen. That person had no choice in the matter. They had nothing to do with that. It is what it is, friends. But I'm not going to use that as an or as a thing to refuse them in the things of God. Amen. Whether God accepts us or rejects us is not dependent upon the things that we have no control over. Amen. We don't have to be 6'1" or 5'5" to do something for God. Amen. Matthew 5 talks about who by worry can add one cubit of height to their stature. I know Brother Ryan, he always says he's a worrier, right, Sister Kara? Amen. I'm sure he's probably worried about how short he is. I don't know. But he don't like it. There's times I wish I was shorter at times. Not very often. But he's worried about it and worried about it. But it ain't done a thing for him. It is what it is, right? You can't do it. God is the one who determines how tall or how your looks are. And he doesn't use those to determine whether he rejects or accepts you as an individual. Now, when you talk about the outward appearance of things that you do have control over, it's another matter altogether. Amen. The things that you do have control over, the things that you can change, the things that you do manipulate, God's word is very clear in those things. It outlines them. It goes over them. It covers them. The length of your hair, the clothing that you wear, the things that you adorn yourself, the things that you do have control, God does care about those things. Amen. Don't you think for a moment this morning that the things, the choices that you make in your life, amen, the decisions that you come about in your daily routines, God cares about those things. Amen. And he's concerned about them this morning. And we'll get into those things eventually. Hallelujah. God does care about them. If you're going to use this verse of scripture, use it right. Amen. Use it right. It's not talking about the way that you dress, the clothes that you put on. That's not what this verse of scripture is talking about. And so when they stand there and they say, well, you know, God looks on my heart. Yes, he does. And man looks on my outward appearance, and that's all wrong, so it doesn't matter. You tell him he's talking about your height, and he's talking about the way you look, your face is. Amen. Now, if you do use this verse of scripture to talk about outward appearances, then this verse is the exact reason why you should care about your outward appearance. I've heard them use this verse of scripture, and I get frustrated both ways. Because in their argument, they come through this thing and they're like, well, you know, God doesn't care. And I'm like, but are you listening to what you're saying here? Who's looking at you day by day? Man is. Who's looking at you when you go out to the store? Other individuals. When I go to work, people are looking at me. When my wife gets in the truck and loads up those kids and hauls them off to different places, the world is looking at her and watching her. Amen. They're looking at her life. Amen. And so it's important, amen, that she shows the world that there is something different about her and all those other women that are out in the world today. This is the exact reason why you and I should care about those issues. God knows what's in our heart, but our fellow man does not. Amen. The fellow man doesn't know what's in there. Fellow man doesn't have a clue what's going on inside, down deep inside our lives. If we just look like everybody else, there's nothing that separates us. There's nothing that causes us to stand out. And so when man looks at us, I want him to see that there's something different about my life. Amen. Man cannot see into my heart. If I'm going to be a true representation of Christ, then I need to let that which is in my heart come to my outward appearance. Amen. Let's move on. Number one, the first reason, amen, that we need to live righteous and holy on the outward, amen, is because we want to please God. Number two, we want to be a light and a witness for the world that is lost. Amen. Don't you want to be a light and a witness to the world that's lost? I want them to be convicted every time they see one of you. I want them to feel that they're lost. Just when they look at us. Amen. I want them to feel the emptiness that they really truly have inside when they take one glance at us whenever they're out and about. Amen. Every aspect of our lives, from our attitudes, from our words that we say, to the smile on our face, to the clothes that we wear, amen, to the way that we adorn ourselves, amen, ought to be a witness, ought to be a light to the world around us. We work, we shop, we live among the world. He doesn't see my heart, but they do see my dress and how I'm adorned. We are called to be the light of the world. Amen. In Matthew 5, Jesus said we are lights. We need to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father that is in heaven. Live so that man can see, not arrogantly as the Pharisees, but live so men can see and give God the glory. Amen. Isn't that what the verse of Scripture says? Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what with them? Not glorify you. That's what the Pharisees did. They tried to dress up. They tried to doll all up. They tried to pretty up. You know, they did their little tricks and their little ritual things. Amen. Because they want the world to look at them and go, wow, that guy's really something. That's not why we're living this way, friends. We're living this way so that when men see us, they glorify Almighty God. Yesterday we were out in Hagerstown, and these four guys got out of this van or something. I'm not sure what it was. And they were, wow, what were they wearing? They had some kind of robe thing on. It was like red and gold and these long flowing white gowns on. And I looked at them, I thought, what is this? But I thought about the Pharisees. Here they come. They got big old stars on their shirts and everything. They had looked like they had some kind of Bible thing. I don't know what they were doing. But I looked at that and I thought, my oh my, what are they doing this for? Why'd they dress like that? It's gaining attention, but is it the right attention? Amen. Live so that men see us, but glorify our Father, which is in heaven. I want us to look here in another verse of Scripture. It's in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Need to watch the time here. All right. If anybody has any questions or thoughts this morning, I want to make sure I give you time to pause along the way. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14 says this: follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Now, there are two ways to look at this verse of Scripture. And two different ways to interpret it, and either way is fine. I don't think that it's wrong to look at it either way. Amen. But the first way is in light of our regeneration. And Brother Ryan would like this morning. And the second way is in light of our representation. He'd like that, wouldn't he? Yeah. I used to use alliteration all the time. I try to stay away from it. In light of our regeneration and in light of our representation. The first way of looking at this, in light of our regeneration, in light of our salvation, if you will. The verse says that without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Without holiness, no man will see God. We have to live holy. We have to live pure. We have to live righteous lives if we anticipate spending an eternity with God. Amen. We've got to follow peace with all men. We've got to live holy. Amen. Because if I don't, amen, my salvation is going to come to a rapid end. If I don't live righteous before God, amen, if I don't live a life that is holy and acceptable before God, amen, I will not stay saved. Amen, I can't go out in the world and do whatever I want to do, amen, and expect to get to heaven. I've got to continue living a holy life. I've got to continue living a righteous life. I've got to continue. So in light of our regeneration, amen, if I want to see God someday, hey, I better make sure I live right, talk right, and as Brother Brent says, spit white. Amen. Number two, in light of our representation, man cannot see God. They will not see God if we don't live right, if we don't dress right. So here you and I are. God's not walking down the street that they can see, is he? He's not going down, you know, US 11, not walking up and down the streets in Martinsburg where they can see him. He may very well be there, although at times I wonder. I drive through there at night and I get scared. It's a terrifying place. And that's just on the main drag. I can't imagine getting off the streets. It's just strange. It's a bad place. Brother Tony knows all about it, I'm sure. Some of the rest of you. So they don't see God going up down the street, but they do see you and I. We live here. We work here. We, you know, we go to the stores around here. They see us. The world looks at us. And friends, today, if you and I don't live lives that are righteous, if you and I don't live lives that are holy, amen, that portrays God as who he is, amen, then the world will never, ever see who God is. I want the world to see God this morning. I want the world to know him. I want the world to know his power. And the only way that I'm going to convince the world that God exists, that God is alive, amen, that he cares and that he's concerned, is for me to live a life that's holy, for me to live a life that's pure, and to get out among them and to walk among them, amen, and to show, amen, that there's something different about my life than what they're involved in right now. I want them to see God, and I want them to know God. Amen. In light of our representation, I'm a representative of God this morning. Amen. And I've got to live a life as such. When I go to work, amen, I'm a representative of Volvo. Hallelujah. And I go out to different places and I meet with other individuals. You know, I go to a customer who's got a problem in the field. His truck won't run. He's not a very happy man. I'm a representative of the company. And the things that I do and the things that I say, the way that I look, is a reflection on the company. It is. We've had complaints of guys that have gone out that have looked like slobs, if you will. Not put together, shirts not tucked in. And they thought, who did you send us? Companies care about a sense of professionalism. It's our name that you're carrying out there. They don't want you to wear clothes with their names on them unless you're going to act right and do right. My friends, we've got a greater name on us today than anything that's earthly related. Amen. It says it's the name of Jesus Christ. And when we walk out among that world, we've got a tag on our shirt that says, amen, property of the Son of God. Amen. A child of the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I'm one of His. And when we're walking out there among the world, they're looking at us and they see the tag on our shirt, if you will. Amen. They see the sign that's all over us. Amen. And they need to know, is this a correct representation of who God really is? Amen. There are people that are out there that are longing for answers to life's problems, to the questions that plague their minds, and they're looking for hope, and they're looking for answers. And my friends, when they see us, and they see the God that is in us, amen, I want it to prick their hearts and their lives, and I want them to say, I've got to get what that person's got. Amen. Amen. In light of my representation, I want the world to see that there's something different about this life because I've got the answers to the problems that they have. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Isn't He, friends? So why should we as individuals, why should we as Christians live holy lives? The first one is to please God. The second one is because we want to be a light and a witness to the world. But the third reason this morning, amen. The third reason this morning is this, that holiness, living right outwardly, is the best plan for our lives. Living a righteous life is the best plan for our lives. There is nothing greater than living a life that is holy before God, inwardly and outwardly. To not live a holy life before God is to live a life that is subpar with the kingdom of God. Amen. It's to live a life that shortchanges you the benefits and the blessing that God has. It's a life that shortchanges God. Amen. The representation that you should carry forward to a lost and dying world. Amen. To live a holiness life is to live a life of happiness. Amen. The best is to live holy, even if that includes the outward appearance. If we obey the commandments of the Lord, it brings happiness to our lives. In John chapter 13, it says that if you obey the words of God, what will you be? You'll be happy. Happy are you. And so in God's word, as we study it, as we know it, amen, truly the greatest aspect of our lives, truly the greatest plan for our lives is to live lives that are holy, and in turn they will be lives that are happy. When you find yourself in obedience to God, your life will be a happy life. Amen. If you're living your life to please some man, well, if it's your husband, that may be another story. But if you're living your life to please some other person, some other man, you'll never really truly be happy. But if you're living your life to please an almighty God, amen, and you're doing whatever it takes, amen, to obey God's words and God's principles and God's guidelines, you'll be one of the happiest people on the planet. Amen. It won't be forced upon you. It won't be something that's coerced. It won't be something that with drudgery and with anger and with bitterness that you've got to do for the kingdom of God. Amen. It'll be something like, oh God, I want to do it for you. Amen. I want to please you. I want to make you happy today. God, it's one of the greatest things in the world. Amen. To live right before you. Amen. It brings true happiness to my heart and to my life. All of us like being patted on the back and say, you're doing a great job, don't we? Amen. Every one of us in here likes to know. Did you even, my wife, every once in a while I come inside and I see that the house is all picked up. And I will have noticed. There are times I don't say a word. Because I know in a moment it's going to come out. Didn't you notice what I've done? Every time. Didn't you notice? Yes, dear, I noticed. I noticed, dear. There are times I tell her, honey, the house looks great. Probably not enough, do I, dear? But there are times I don't say it just because I know she wants me to notice what she's done. She wants me to tell her, you've done a good job. Because why? Look at her. She's got that funny smile on her face. It brings happiness to her heart when I recognize what she has done. Amen. When you and I do what God has asked us to do, there's a smile that comes on our face. Because with loving eyes, he looks down on us and he smiles at us. And he says, child, you're doing exactly what the Word of God says. You're doing exactly what I've told you to do. And in turn, it plasters this funny smile on our faces. True happiness. That can't come about by living any other way than living lives of holiness before God. There is a depth, my friends, today in holiness that there is nothing that any other church that is out there can come close to obtaining. Look at 2 Corinthians 16 and 18. We'll turn over to the whole chapter and if you want to and look here at a couple of verses. We look at this verse of Scripture, these couple of verses here, and we've mentioned them many times in our preaching. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A lot of times you and I use this reference of Scripture for us to come out and to get saved. But if you look at what who he's talking to in this chapter, look back at verse number 14. The verse says this, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Who is Paul talking to in this verse of Scripture? It's the saved or the unsaved? In verse number 14. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Who is he talking to? I'm sorry, in verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Who's he talking to, the lost or the saved? He's talking to the saved. And as he continues on in those verses of Scripture, he's still talking to saved people. And so when you get to verse number 16, or verse number 17 and 18, when he says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, he's still talking to saved people. He's looking at them and he's saying, listen, I've been going down through this course of things here. Amen. I've been talking to the saved. Amen. I'm getting down here and I want to tell you something else, saved people. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. I've got something greater for you. I've got a deeper experience with you. I've got a closer relationship with you. I've got something more powerful for you. Amen. That many people, when they get saved, they'll only go so far. Amen. But if you continue to progress in the things of God, I've got a depth in the relationship with God. Amen. I've got something greater. I've got more power. Amen. I've got something that will touch your heart and will change the world around you. Amen. If as long as you keep walking, as long as you keep talking, as long as you keep progressing in the things of God, amen, I'm going to use your life to touch and change the world, amen, that we're now living in. Amen. Be not unequally yoked together. Come out from among the world. Look at what he says. Come out from among them, be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I've got something deeper. I've got something better. You will be my sons and my daughters. Amen. He's talking about a special relationship. He will be the Father unto us. Amen. I know it's referred to in many other places, and it's talking about the initial aspect of salvation. But in light and in reference to these verses of Scripture, he's talking about that precious relationship, amen, that a father brings to his children that can't be replaced by another mom, that can't be replaced by the daycare, that can't be replaced by some other individual. Amen. It's that special relationship that cannot be put into words of dear old dad. And when you want something, you want to go to him. You can take it to him, and you can know that he's there, and he's concerned, and he cares exactly about your little problem and your little need. My friends, if we live lives that are holy, amen, lives that are happy, amen, we'll find out that there is a depth that God will bring to the table, amen, that is not afforded to all those and all those other churches and all those other places. Amen. They don't have the depth. They don't have the relationship, amen, with God that we have here. One of the greatest things that I love to hear is when new people come to the house of God, they say, I ain't never seen anything like it. Whew, you're right. Oh, when I walked in the door, Brother Tim, I felt something. Amen. How many times have we heard at church? Amen. How many times have people said those exact words that as soon as I entered in that back door, I knew there was something different about this place. Amen. When you got up to sing. Amen. When the preacher got up to preach. Amen. When you did testimony service. Amen. When we prayed over the prayer. Whatever it was. Amen. There was something just different about that place. My friends, it's not afforded to all those that want to live any way they want to live. Amen. But those that want to live right. Those that want to set aside a few things. Amen. Those that are willing to change their life and grow closer to God. Amen. God says, I'll bring something by. Amen. That I won't give to just anybody else. Amen. I'll bring a blessing. I'll bring a touch. I'll bring an anointing. Amen. I'll bring a power. I'll bring something to them. Amen. And bless them. And your heart and your life will be touched and changed by the power of God that I'll never give to anybody else that just wants to live any old way. Whew. I'm teaching Sunday school this morning. Better calm down a little bit. Amen. I'm telling you, friends, today there is reasons why we live this way. There are reasons why we dress this way. Amen. Well, there's reasons why we're concerned about how we look and how we act when we go out in the world. Amen. I want to please God more than anything. Amen. I want to be a witness. I want to be a light. Amen. But I need to be convinced myself that holiness is the right way. It is the best way. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, it's the only way. Hallelujah. Today, I will receive you, a special relationship that God has with you and I today. Amen. Praise God this morning. That's what I got for today's lesson. Hallelujah. Any thoughts or questions this morning? Any comments? Feel free this morning. Praise the Lord. We'll continue on in this. It'll be a series, and I hope I don't bore you to death with it. But I believe it today, and I want to teach it. I want to preach it. Or preach a teacher, whatever you want to refer to it. Amen. We're going to move right along. Anything this morning, praise the Lord. Let's pray and ask the good Lord to help us. I got 4 minutes this morning. I gave you time. Thank you, Lord, today for your goodness. Lord, we love you so much, God, and we need to be lights to the world that is lost around us. God, I pray that the things that we say and the places that we go or don't go, Lord, I pray that the way that we look would convict those that are around us, oh God. Let them see that there's something down inside, a thing of true happiness that just oozes from every pore of our body. God, that we want to do right. We want to please you, Lord. We want to follow you. But Lord, we want to sell the world, amen, what we've got. Amen. That's the power and the glory of an almighty God. Now, Lord, help us this week as we go our different ways, Lord. Lord, touch us. Help us in the remainder of this service, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. Nothing. I gave you a little more time to think of something. If you had a question, I can't believe Nathan is completely speechless this morning. But hallelujah anyhow. Brother Brent probably be upset because he's probably not done studying back there. Maybe he fell asleep. I should probably go check on him. I doubt that.